and I'm not tired yet. I'm still in the race. I had many people pass me by. Look like I had a cramp at some time. Look like I was about to give up. Look like I pulled a hamstring. I had a whole bunch of stuff happen that caused me to want to stop. But I can't quit. I can't stop running.
At 7:30 p.m., we would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Gonna be all right.
This is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Thank you, choir. Amen. Would you stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this another wonderful opportunity to be in your house, to hear your word, to hear from you. Lord, we thank you that you speak authoritatively, arbitrarily, and absolutely. If we surrender ourselves, our souls to you, to know that you desire us to know and to do that you've given us to know, to fulfill your will, to become all that you've called us to be, we know then, God, that it shall be well. We thank you for these who listen by way of this sanctuary and others by radio and CD. And we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to each and every heart individually and all of us collectively. And we'll be ever so careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Would you turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, And we're going to commence reading at verse 23, Hebrews 11:23. Recorded are these words. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandment. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. We're talking about the footprints of faith. The footprints of faith. These scriptures in the 11th chapter deals with various personalities and their footprints or steps of faith. Gives you just snippets, little snapshots. Does not reveal the full details, but gives us to know that they are in this faith chapter, Hall of Fame as we call it, because of not what they've done, but rather what they've overcome. It's not so much about the success in the story as much as it is about the struggle and the stretching of their situations, thus making them what God would have them to be. One of the reasons why it's so important to understand faith, and especially as we are walking through each verse of this 11th chapter, is to understand that if the enemy can keep you from operating in faith, then he can keep you not only from reaching your potential, but fulfilling your purpose. And so many times we want to give up in our walk and in our ministry because we become discouraged, or there's a period where it's lackluster, where it's not exciting, where it's not all of the hallelujahs and the praise gods, and we see things differently because as God brings us to a place of awareness, he's doing that to help us to grow, for us to develop. He's bringing us to a new point of uncomfortableness because he's making us not what we are, but what we are to be. And so faith comes into the picture, and it's important for us to understand why God uses faith in such a powerful way. Because one of the things you're going to understand about faith is given of God to the people of God so that they can transfer the resources of heaven into the earthly realm. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You've got to understand that that faith that God has given to every believer is important to their journey and their pilgrimage here on planet Earth. When you see struggles and troubles, when you see things not going the way they ought to go, you've got a choice. You can walk by faith and do what God has called you to do. And I like to throw out parenthetically, the reason he lets you see stuff is because he has a plan for you to participate in what's wrong getting right. But too many weak and whiny Christians won't stand up in faith and be prayer warriors, but we are Christian runners, run from this church to that church because it seemed like the fire this Sunday may be hotter here, or the anointing might be flowing better over there. But I've got news for you. Wherever God placed you, he placed you to be an integral part of whatever is going on. There's no place that's always going to be perfect. There's no place that's always going to be problematic. There are going to be times when you're up. There are going to be times when you're down. There are going to be times when you're happy. There are going to be times when you're sad. There are going to be times when you're healthy. There are going to be times when you're sick. There are going to be times when you're right. There are going to be times when you're wrong. There are going to be times when you got it. There are going to be times when you don't have it. You got to understand God knew all of this in his placing you where you are in human history and in the place that he's called you to work. God has shown me so many things in my time of struggle, in my time of challenging, during sickness. God has shown me so much. I tell you, it blows my mind yet how if I didn't know that was a God. See, because I've learned everybody who's at your side is not by your side, on your side, with you. Everybody in your company don't really mean you well, is not looking for your success, not holding up your arms. Everybody that's in your circle don't really belong there, but God permits them to be there, even the enemy, for the evil day. See, I've learned, you know, when you look at some things, oh, now something's wrong with that picture. Yeah, something's wrong with that picture. And God allowed you to see something's wrong with that picture so you can know that God is still working in that picture, and what's wrong will soon be righted by God, but you've got to watch him work with what he's working with. God sees everything. God knows everything. And these scriptures help us to understand that. From verse 23 through verse 29, it's talking about Moses' footprint. Verse 23 is talking about his presence. Verse 24 is talking about his purpose, and all of this is in faith. His presence in faith, his purpose in faith. Verse 25 is dealing with his preference in faith. Verse 26 is dealing with his privilege in faith. Verse 27 is dealing with his path in faith. Verse 28 is dealing with his practices in faith. And verse 29 is dealing with his pilgrimage in faith. When you walk back, you're going to see that verse 23 and 24 deals with the starts and the steps of his faith. Verse 25, 26, and 27 deals with his struggles in faith. And then verse 28 and 29 deals with his stretching in faith. Look at it again, if you will. 23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, listen, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Listen, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, when you look at this verse and it reveals the presence of his faith, you're going to understand that the word proper here means beauty. It means fair. It means good looking. He was a proper child. But more than that, he was an anointed child. Yes, you see, one of the things that you're going to understand is God gives the people of faith presence. When you have faith and operate in faith, God gives you such a presence that you ultimately change situations and circumstances just by showing up. Moses, when he was born, they're talking about something, listen, that Moses had on him. His anointing was upon him. It wasn't anything he did. He just got there. But when he got there, things started changing. Listen, 3 things I want you to know about presence, and you'll know if you got presence if you've got these. If not, just keep praying and keep walking in faith. People who have presence have the ability to get attention and awareness without even trying. Attention and awareness. Talking about presence now. Not only do they have the ability to get attention and awareness when they enter a room, but there's something else that's so much more important in that, and it gives us, first of all, to understand that what God has placed in us is far greater than us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the presence of God must be in you for you to have presence in any place. See, people see you and they don't know what it is about you, but it's something that gets your attention, because when they see you, there's something they're trying to figure out. They're trying to figure out, is it the makeup? Is it the smile? Is it the clothes? What is it about? It's something different about them. And those who are deeper know it's an anointing. And then those who are spiritually discerning will know that there's something different about it. There is something about presence that gets your attention. When folk who have presence walk in the room, people can be in conversation and folks stop. They look, or the conversation changes. See, you can tell when you got presence, folk talking about some stuff, and then all of a sudden, the whole conversation changed. Got presence. But then there's something else about presence that you need to know. Not only is there the ability to get attention and awareness, but there's also an adjustment in attitudes with presence. When presence. Have you ever heard somebody consider the life of the party? How you've had just a humdrum gathering of people and everybody just kind of socially talking and so forth and so forth. And then the life of the party steps in the room and the attitudes of folk change immediately. Well, all right. Look who's here. Folk get excited about it. I mean, you know, they could have been down, could have been just whatever, whatever. But all of that changes when they come into the room. They adjust attitudes. But it doesn't always adjust positively. Sometimes it adjusts negatively. Because when righteousness comes in the room, evil takes a negative approach at it. They start, look at here. Look who's coming. Lord Jesus, huh? You know, they take a negative attitude at you because they don't want the atmosphere changed. And that's the third thing about presence. It changes the atmosphere. It allows you to change the atmosphere. You have the ability to get attention without even trying, to adjust attitudes without even trying, and you're able to make a difference in the atmosphere. Presence. Moses had that. He had that. You find that in the second chapter of Exodus. And in looking at that chapter, you'll discover how God has this thing fixed. Now, because he had presence, it was God's anointing upon his life that created all of this presence. When his parents saw him, listen to this. They saw he was a proper child. Now, all parents can't say their child is a proper child. Now, it may be proper to them, but now remember this word proper means beautiful, it means comely, it means fair, and so forth. You know, I mean, every parent's child is their child and they love them and that's wonderful. But this wasn't just about outer beauty. This was something far greater that his parents recognized. Because I've seen some babies and when they unwrap the paper, pull the blanket back down, all I could say was, oh, look at the baby. That's all I could say. I couldn't say much more than that without hurting the parents. But then I saw what the baby had to work with. Y'all catch that on your way home. Anyway. but listen at this now, because this deals with the start and the steps of faith. Now, the parents were affected by his presence. And they were able, again, by that presence, adjust their attitude to what the king had declared. The king had declared that children, newborn, up to 2 years would be killed. So that was already a commandment, but they hid the newborn baby for 3 months. But then God gave them a divine plan to put him in a basket, float him down the Nile at the precise time that Pharaoh's daughter would be there with her entourage bathing. And there comes the little basket with the bundle of beauty in it. And she sees this. She knows it's an Egyptian baby, but he has presence. He looks royal. He looks different from other little children. There's something about him, so much so that Pharaoh's daughter take a liking to him. But now look at how it's all arranged. She gets Moses' sister to find Moses' mother to pay him to nurse him till he became of age. No, don't tell me we don't serve a good God. She didn't know that it was Moses' sister. She didn't know that it was Moses' mother who would be nursing him until he came to the point where he was now able to be weaned and now brought into the kingdom to live as her son. But God knew it, and God orchestrated it, and he used everybody in the process to make his plan come to fruition. And what I've got to tell somebody is, I don't care what it looks like, he uses good, bad, ugly, and indifferent to bring his plan to fruition. It doesn't have to look like it's going to work out all right. At the time Moses was born, that was a decree to kill the newborn. But he didn't get killed because God put an anointing on him that had such a presence that his parents could not do that. His parents could not give him up. But when they did give him up, it was at God's timing. And can I tell you, God's timing is not always your timing. You think you know it, but God, he is here to show you he knows best. And so then we move on from now, Moses being discovered by Pharaoh's daughter and then being found, given the command to his sister to find an Egyptian woman who was nursing to nurse him. And she brought him back to his mama. And his mama, can you imagine that, your mama being paid to take care of you? Some mothers would say, I'd volunteer today for this. I need to be paid taking care of this one. Now listen, move on to verse 24. Verse 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he came to years, it literally means from the age of 12 years old. That's when in the Jewish history they have what's called a bar mitzvah. That's when a boy is considered to be a man, as they're coming into his manhood. They have a big celebration, and so it's at that point where he's no longer considered a child. And so it was up to this point. But at this point, he again, remember, is being reared by his mother, who recognized his anointing at birth, who realized that he had a particular purpose. Verse 2 deals with purpose. And see, in purpose, there are three things that you've got to know. You've got to know your potential, you've got to know your place, and you've got to know your period. Because even if you know your potential, but you don't know where you belong, you never fulfill your potential. But even if you know your potential and you know where you belong, but if you don't know your period, your timing, your season, you still don't fulfill your purpose. And so Moses was reared, he was trained, he was fed. She instilled in him the principles of God. She made him understand who he was and what his roots were, where he came from, who he was, and who was his true God. All of that was instilled in him while he was at his mother's house. So when he went to the kingdom palace, where Pharaoh was, his daughter was, where all of the pleasantries, the richness, the royalty, the pomp and circumstance was, where all of this was, Moses was grounded. You see, that's one of the reasons why some folk lose their head, because they've never been grounded. And then they get with somebody that's got a little something, and they lose all their morals, they lose all their manners, and they lose their mind. They don't know how to act with more than sufficient because they don't know their purpose. Because they don't know their purpose, they have no idea of the potential that's in them to do what God has called them to do. And so therefore, when you look at this word and understand how it unfolds, my brothers and sisters, it is again to teach us that faith comes in steps. You're going to go through some things before you actually fulfill what it is God's got for you to do. But it all begins with presence, with you getting in this word, earth realm. When you get to the place where you are aware, some people don't come into that place of presence until much later in life, depending on the purpose that God has for them. They can be here and not even know they're here for a long time. But it's not until they come into that place where they recognize I'm here for a purpose. Till they start understanding their presence. Why are folk looking at me like that? Because there's something different about you. Why are folk act strange around me like that? Because there's something different about you. Why the regular little folk won't play with you? Why certain folk won't hang out with you? Because you're different. You're peculiar. There's something about you that's not easily associated with, because you don't have the kindred spirit of the world. It's a godly spirit. And that is sinful and that is godly do not mix. It's something very uncomfortable about it. And so when he began to realize at that age and stage, when he came to years, that he refused. Somebody say he made up his mind. He made up his mind that he would not be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, if he wasn't called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, what it literally meant was that he was not taking pride and ownership of those things that belonged to her and to Egypt. That they were not going to take credit for what God had done, was doing, or was getting ready to do. You see, when you give somebody that kind of claim, you give them the right to brag on making you what you are. But when you give God the glory for who you are, what you are, what you've gone through, what you're going through, what you're going to make it through, what you've been through, then God gets the glory for that. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Matter of fact, if you know the story, they put the diadem on it and made him a prince. He took it off and threw it down. No, this don't belong to me. I'm not the rightful heir of this throne. This really doesn't belong to me as such. But what he began to realize was, and most folk don't understand, that God puts you in a place for his glory. God don't care nothing about you wanting to be where you are. Lord, I don't want to be here. And so I didn't make you for you, I made you for me. I placed you where I placed you for me. So you just get you. Matter of fact, I've learned the more you hate being where you are, the longer God keeps you there. So when you tell my Lord, I just wish I can pack up and leave. I just wish I can go. I wish I can. All the rest of that, God said, now you just might as well get real comfortable, because you're going to be here a while and you're going to suffer while you're there, because you're not recognizing I have placed you here for a purpose, and it's not going to happen until I say it's going to happen, and you ain't going nowhere till it happens. I just wish I could be somewhere where, you know, the Spirit of the Lord just, and people don't talk about you, and things aren't this, and God says, stop whining, acting like a chump, a wimp. I've called you. I've anointed you. I've appointed you to make a difference. You are a thermostat, not a thermometer. Change the situation. Change the condition. Change